titled the message tonight, What About Faith? We're going to start with a passage from Hebrews 11:6, but first, you know, I want everybody to understand this. We use the word, but maybe we don't know how important it is. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know what it is or what it's used for or what good it is. But here's the point. Faith is necessary to know and please God, to be saved from His wrath, to have peace in this world, and to live as God intends us to live. So the first point that I want to make today is faith is important. See, we all need some amount of faith to survive. Every day we do things by faith, whether we think about it or not. When you sit on a chair, you have faith that the chair isn't going to collapse and you're going to fall on the floor. When you ride in a car, you have faith that you're going to get where you're going. Now, when you get out of the car with a dangerous driver who's been swerving in and out, you may not have enough faith to get back in the car with him again. When we eat something, we have faith that it's not going to kill us. But sometimes we look at the date on the container, sometimes we smell the food. After we check the date or take a sniff of the milk, we may have more or less faith in that food. We're supposed to fly on a plane, and we walk up to the gate and we look out and it only has one wing and the engine is smoking. We may not have enough faith or belief or trust to get on that plane. So the faith to do things comes from what we see in those things around us, from how we understand it. For instance, getting in that car with the reckless driver, or who we think was reckless, if we find out he's a professional race car driver, well, we might have faith to get back in the car with him. But there's something more important to us than the faith that we need to do things within this life, like sitting on a chair or getting in a car, and that is the faith in God. You see, faith, first of all, is needed to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So let me just ask a question. Who wants to please God? Got to have faith to please Him. There is no other way. It cannot be. You cannot please Him according to the Bible. Well, faith is also needed to be saved from God's wrath. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So here's the question, who wants to be saved from God's wrath? Got to have faith. We cannot be saved from God's wrath. So here's the thing, it's not just important, it is crucial for our survival in eternity. Romans 2:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Yeshua our Lord. So since faith is important, maybe you want to know how to get some, right? So who thinks they need more faith? So faith is acquired. It's my second point. The first was faith was important. Second, faith is acquired. See, we cannot make faith. No matter how hard we try, we can't just conjure up real faith. Sometimes we can make ourselves believe something that isn't true. Anybody ever done that? Right? We may see a date on the egg carton, back to the food, and it's 3 or 4 weeks old and believe, well, I can probably eat those eggs anyways. We may forget the milk on the counter for a day and look at the date and say, well, it must be okay because the date is okay, even though it sat out all night, right? But we're going to find out the truth about our faulty faith if we eat those eggs or drink that milk. Okay? We may think we can get to heaven by our own good works, by believing I do more good things than bad things, and that gets me in place with God. We may think we can believe in some other God than Yeshua, and we can still get to heaven. But we cannot. See, if we go down that path, when we find out that we're wrong, it's going to be too late. We're going to be in eternity, in destruction, in hell. It's not like eating the eggs, I get sick and I learn my lesson. There's no recovering from that lesson. So we can get faith. Well, here's the point. God gives us faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So when you're following God, God has dealt to everybody a measure of faith. How much? Don't know, but he has given some faith. Remember, Paul said, "You by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." So God has given faith to all of his believers. Faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Paul told the believers in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another healings by the same Spirit." God, through his Holy Spirit, will give us faith. Again, it's not something we manufacture. It's not something that we conjure up. But we get faith from knowing God's word, from knowing about him. Paul told the believers in Romans 10, verse 17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, that may not make a lot of sense at first. You say, how can I get faith by hearing? Say, it doesn't make sense. Can people who don't hear, can they have faith? They don't have, they're deaf. Well, moms in the room may understand this more than fathers. You ask your children to go clean their room, and they go into their room. 2 hours later, you walk in, and you find out not only have they not cleaned the room, it's messier than it was when you told them to get in there. And you say to them, "Did you hear me? I told you to go clean your room." Now, you know they heard you because they went into the room, but they didn't really hear you. So there's two kinds of hearing. See, at least 8 times in the Gospels, Yeshua said something like this: "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, now think about it. If they had ears to hear him, it would be silly to tell them they needed to hear what they already heard. Kind of a silly statement if he's just talking about hearing with their ears. But the New Living Translation translates it, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." When he's talking about hearing, he's not just talking about the words going in and you get it, but taking it to heart. See, Yeshua and the mother I was talking about in the illustration, that's what they mean. They mean, I want you to understand those words. I want you to take them to heart. So whether we can physically hear or not, we have to believe the word of God, take it to heart, in order to have faith. So right now we know that when we know, the more we know about the word of God, the more faith we can have. Now Jesus' disciples understood that faith could be acquired. In Luke, the gospel records in chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Pretty interesting. Who would like to have their faith increased? Okay. Well, when the apostles asked Yeshua to increase their faith, you may have thought he would have told them to pray or fast or go do some service or do something drastic. But look at what he told them. The next verse, he said, "Which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat?' He continued on, 'Will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you eat and drink? Does he think that servant because he did the things that, or does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not.'" He goes on, "So likewise you, when you have done all these things which are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" In order to increase faith, Yeshua said, "Hear, understand what I'm saying, take it to heart, and go be obedient to God, whatever your master tells you." Obedience brings faith. And so if we're struggling and saying, "Well, I don't have enough faith," Are we being obedient to the Lord in every way that he tells us? So we know, first point, faith is important. And two, faith is acquired. But what exactly is faith? Well, faith can be defined. Isn't that a good thing? We can define it. Well, the world has a definition of faith. The worldly definition, this is from dictionary.reference.com, it's confidence or trust in a person or thing, faith in another's ability, belief that is not based on proof. They got one of them pretty close in what we're talking about, belief in God or the doctrines or teachings of religion. Belief in anything is a code of ethics, standards of merit. So synonyms that we use, confidence, trust, belief, you'll see those used throughout the Bible, and they're usually meaning exactly the same thing as when we say faith. So let's look at some of these. Trust in a person or a thing. Well, we talked about a chair and a car and a driver before. How about in people? Many people had faith in former Governor Eliot Spitzer, thought he was going to improve conditions in New York State, but that faith was shattered when the news broke he was involved in a prostitution scandal. See, in general, history shows it's not really a good idea to put faith in most politicians, right? So the first thing there, confidence or trust in people, I don't know. Trust in anything. If I decide I have faith I can fly, I'm going to find out how foolish that is when I jump off the roof. If I decide to believe that my car can float, I'm going to find out how silly that faith is when I drive it into the lake. See, we have to be careful of what we have faith in, and faith in anything, like they're saying there, probably isn't a good idea. So we're talking about the Bible here, though. That's our word from God. That's our source of life. That's B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's what we're talking about. So what's the biblical definition of faith? Well, Paul talks about it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 3. He says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. He says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Again, faith comes by knowing God and his word. See, through the Bible, we can trust the things that we don't see because they are recorded. We're sure of what we hope for because we know God is able to do all things. Who believes God's able to do all things? Amen. We are certain of what we do not see because we understand God and we have a relationship with him. We believe God created everything and is in control of the universe because the Bible tells us, and it is accurate and it is historically right. We believe we have an inheritance in heaven when we accept Yeshua as our Lord and Savior. We can believe those. I don't see my inheritance in heaven physically. It's unseen. But I can understand that even though this universe is made out of these atoms and particles, God created it out of nothing, which is pretty cool, I think. So the Bible gives us the faith we need to be saved. That's another very important point. Paul told Timothy, his follower, recalling too how from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which can give you the wisdom that leads to deliverance through trusting in Yeshua the Messiah. Trust, again, that's the faith. So we have that deliverance. There's our biblical definition. We're going to go on a little more. But biblical faith is not like closing our eyes and stepping into a busy street and hoping that we won't get run over. Amen? Look, what we know about the busy street should cause us to look before stepping into it. What we know about God from the Bible should cause us to walk with our lives accordingly as he has said. See, our faith is not blind, but it's based on what we know about God. Our hope is not just for any old thing, but the things that God promises. For example, Paul told the believers in Rome, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. I can believe that no matter what has happened to me, no matter what is happening to me now, no matter what is going to happen in the future, God is going to work those things for good in our lives. and that gives me comfort. Now tonight I'm preaching a little to myself because 2 weeks ago I found out that I was impacted by the downsizing at Eastman Kodak Company. And so I'm currently without a job. I have faith that God is going to provide for me in some way because he says, do not worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you're going to wear, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, I'm seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is a long story, but that's how I ended up here today. And so I believe that somehow he's going to provide. It might not be what I think, the way I think, how I think, where I think, when I think, but somehow he's going to provide, and he is going to work this loss of my job for the good because his word says so. So remember, faith is also called confidence, trust, or belief. Now, biblical faith is specific. It's a belief that's not directed towards people or towards wisdom and towards the understanding of people. The Apostle Paul tried to preach in such a way that faith would not be in people's wisdom or in his wisdom, but in God's power. He told the believers at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We have politicians with all kinds of wisdom, and they're going to bring peace here and there, and they're going to save us on money and take care of the thing. Okay, and all this wisdom goes on, and sometimes it comes out like blah, 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 blah. After the fact, whatever they have had in their own wisdom didn't quite work out. We have thousands of years of human history to show that human wisdom is faulty, to say the least. So again, our faith is belief that's directed towards God. That's the biblical definition. Yeshua said, recorded in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Remember, belief is that word for faith, the same word. He's saying, believe in God, believe in Yeshua. And he also said, here's what the work of God is, to trust the one that he sent. So where should my faith be? Who should I trust in? Yeshua. So when Yeshua tells me that looking at a person of the opposite sex is like committing adultery in my heart, I can say, that's not true. Or I can believe him and say that is true. When he tells me that being angry with someone is like the sin of murder, I can say, he's way over the top. Or I can say, I believe you, and I can walk along with what he says or not what he says. The scriptures clearly tell me to believe in him. Believe what he says and do it. The Gospel of Mark records this in chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. It says, after Yochanan, or John, had been arrested, Yeshua came into Galilee, proclaiming the good news from God. The time has come, God's kingdom is near, turn to God from your sins and believe in the good news, the gospel. So, specific belief in the word of God, in Yeshua, in God, in the gospel, those are the things that we trust in, those are the things that we have faith in. So, how can you believe about God, or believe in the good news, or believe in his kingdom, without studying the Bible? We can go by feelings, we can go by songs, we can go by things that other people have written, but the primary source of information is the Holy Bible. So the question that I want to challenge everybody, don't raise your hands, you don't have to, do you read the Bible daily? Have you read through the entire Bible, cover to cover, to understand the story that's laid out? Do you want to have faith? Reading your Bible is necessary. It's crucial. So the first point was faith was important. Second, faith is acquired. Third, faith can be defined. But fourth, faith has purpose in our life. It's not just for saving us from the wrath of God. It's not just for pleasing God, but it has purpose. You see, we understand faith is important to please God. We understand it saves us from the wrath, but what else is it good for? Well, we are supposed to live our lives in faith, not by what we see in the world. The prophet Habakkuk told the people, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just or the righteous person lives by their faith, not by their pride, not by their life. Paul told the believers in Corinth, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Or the complete Jewish translation says, "We live by trust, not by what we see." So when the Bible tells me something and the world tells me something else, I have a choice on what I can believe. If I want faith, I believe what the Bible tells me, not what the world tells me, not what Evening News Tonight has to say about what's going on in the world. I believe what the Bible says, not what the American Psychological Association tells me what drives people and why people do it. I believe that we have sin in the world because the Bible tells me, and I go that way. That's how I have faith. Faith makes us justified or considered righteous with God. So who wants God to consider them to be righteous? See, none of us are righteous, are we? Absolutely none of us. But Paul told the believers in Rome, chapter 3, verse 28, "We conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." That's kind of cool. When I have faith in Yeshua, I am justified. So because we're justified and considered righteous, there's another advantage. Faith or trust in God that comes from that faith gives us peace with God. So who wants peace with God? Who can use more peace with God? Paul told the believers in Rome, chapter 5, verse 1, "Since we have come to be considered righteous by God, because of our trust, because of our faith, let us continue to have shalom, or peace with God, through our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah." Our faith gives us righteousness, which gives us peace with God. That's kind of a nice thing to have in this life. But our faith does something else. It helps us stand against the devil and ignore the things he tries to get to believe. Who thinks it's important to stand against the devil? Absolutely. Paul told the believers in Ephesus, a city which was filled with all kinds of idolatry and sinful actions, temples to false gods, all sorts of wicked unbelief. He said, "Above all things, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Paul compares what the devil has to say to us, what he tries to get us to believe, as though they're fiery darts, but faith is a shield that puts them out. We can stand against the devil and we can put his things away from us. Faith can also bring healing. James tells us the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's a great thing. Now, we know God does not heal everybody all the time in every single prayer. But God does heal people because we have a prayer of faith, and sometimes he will give a healing. I think that's a great thing to look forward to. See, through Yeshua and this faith, we can overcome the world. John 5, verses 4 and 5, Yeshua says, "Everything which has God as its Father overcomes the world. And this is what victoriously overcomes the world, our trust," or our faith. Who does overcome the world if not the person who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God? Who wants to overcome the world? I do. We get that, again, through faith in Yeshua, through doing what he says. Most importantly, through faith, Yeshua, our Messiah, can live in our hearts. Again, Paul told the believers in Ephesus in chapter 3, verse 17, "So that the Messiah may live in your hearts through your trusting. Also, I pray that you would be rooted and founded in love." When we trust in the Lord, he lives in my heart. That's kind of a neat place. I've heard Rabbi talk about that. He talks about in the Old Testament times, God dwelt in the temple in Israel. But since Yeshua, we are the temple. And he can live and dwell in us. And we can have his power and authority. Finally, as mentioned earlier, faith brings salvation and it guards our position in heaven. The Apostle Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who according to his great mercy became our Father again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah from the dead." Peter also said, he went on, "to an incorruptible and undefiled inheritance that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through their faith for salvation, ready to be revealed the last time." Our faith guards this place that we have in heaven. Isn't that a great thing? Yeshua said that he was going away to prepare a place for us and that he would bring us there. We can have that place through our faith. So here's the questions. Don't have to raise your hand. Just think about this. Ponder it in your heart a little. Do you feel justified from your sins? Do you have peace with God? Are you able to stand against the devil, or are you falling prey to his lies and his deception? Do you need healing? Or does somebody that you know need healing? Do you feel like you are overcoming the world? Or does it feel like the world is overcoming you? Do you feel the presence of Yeshua, our Messiah, in your heart? I go back again. Do you have peace with God? Do you feel justified from your sins? And finally, let me ask, are you assured of your salvation? If you answered no to any of these questions, perhaps, like Yeshua's disciples, you need to have an increase in faith. If so, please pray this with me. Father in heaven, please increase our faith. Give us the desire to know you more. Increase our desire to read and understand your word, the Bible. Help us to be obedient servants to you so that you can increase our faith. Help us to believe your promises. Help us to stand against the devil through our faith. Give us the faith to believe that you can heal us. Give us the faith to believe that you can heal others. Help us to accept the sacrifice by your Son Yeshua as the only way to be saved. Lord, we acknowledge we have sinned and disobeyed your commandments. Give us the faith in your Son Yeshua that we need to be saved. We pray this in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.